Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the dangerous conditions for workers in Ghana's gold mines. It is a good occupation for thousands of people in Ghana's countryside. But many miners have died in accidents.
So the moment we are all rushing to collect the what we have wanted from the ground there, so definitely it will collapse. So that's why you can explain that the other side is, you hear that maybe this will have collapsed, maybe 3-10 people have died through there.
Then we will tell you about a woman in the southern American city of Miami, Florida, who is the guardian for 900 children.
If you're doing for one or two, you have to do for everybody.
Gold in Ghana and a golden heart in Florida. Those are our stories today on As It Is from VOA. Gold mining employs thousands of people in Ghana's countryside. Mining can be dangerous work, and mine accidents sometimes kill. But as Marcia James tells us, in poor, undeveloped villages, people say there are few other ways to earn money.
The rivers in Ghana's Ashanti area have a sickly brown color. The land has gashes, holes cut by excavators. The air is filled with the sound of mining equipment. Small mining operations are a common sight in central Ghana. Here, mine workers dig deep into the earth in search of bullion. But not everyone returns alive. Earlier this year, six miners were killed when an earthen wall collapsed in Kaikaiwer, a village in the Ashanti region. Local officials say a collapse last year killed 17 people at a small mine in Ghana's central region. Sebastian Aduko has worked in the mining business for 13 years. He says the risk is undeniably dangerous, but can be lessened if mines are built the right way.
So the moment we are all rushing to collect the what we have wanted from the ground there, so definitely it will collapse. So that's why you can explain that the other side is, you hear that maybe this will have collapsed, maybe 3-10 people have died through there.
The Adisa Ku Coast small-scale mine sits at the end of a dirt road. The operators say they follow government rules and work on land leased or on loan from a local village. Saeed Ababukari is chairman of the Mines Management Committee. He says the business is profitable and not hard to find workers.
Anyone can do it. That's why the moment you are 18 years, the moment you reach at 18 years, then you are free to come and join us.
Nina Kofi Gao is a local government official. He says the mines are hardly harmless. No one collects water from the local streams anymore because of pollutants. Many farmers sell off their land so mines can grow. The official adds there are few jobs for young men in the countryside. So if you can dig, you may have a chance as a miner.
So far as there's no work, and the people are also feeling hungry. You can find, because the money is on the ground. They won't sit down and feel hungry. So far as the money is on the ground, God has given us a lot of money in the soil.
Saeed Ababukari says the mine is quiet this time of the year. Underground water levels are high, making deep digging difficult. He adds when the water levels drop, thousands will arrive at the mine to dig up the land. I'm Marcia James.
You are listening to As It Is on the Voice of America. I'm Christopher Cruz. Last year, the federal government removed 240,000 people from the United States who had entered the country illegally. Pew Research says that is 20,000 more than were deported in 2012. The children of some of those expelled stayed in the country. That is because they were born in the U.S. and are U.S. citizens. Some of these children lost both of their parents to deportation. Ann Ball now tells us about someone who is taking care of the children left behind.
Every day, Nora Sandigo provides supplies to the children. People donate the supplies to Ms. Sandigo's nonprofit organization. Ms. Sandigo also holds celebrations for the children at her home on Saturdays and Sundays. One room in her home holds bags of fruit, canned food, and other supplies. There are also records on each child, including photographs and government documents.
If you do it for one or two, you have to do it for everybody.
Ms. Sandigo plans to help an additional child and mother soon. Francisca will have a baby in about 3 months. She already has two daughters. Recently, a judge ordered her husband to be returned to Guatemala. Francisca says in Spanish that she does not know what will happen to her family. So she has given Nora Sandigo guardianship of her two daughters and her unborn baby. Parents ordered for deportation can choose to take their children with them. But many do not do so, because they believe their children will have a better life in the United States.
I don't want to take my children because here is where their future is.
The federal government will provide the children with financial support if they stay in the United States. But Ms. Sandigo says sometimes caregivers of these children left in the U.S. are afraid to seek help from government agencies. Ms. Sandigo's cell phones ring all the time. Someone always needs something. She says the demands will not end. She blames the government.
Who is doing the separation of the families? It's not me. I don't have any power.
Ms. Sandigo was so angry with the government that she recently rented a bus and took 38 children to the White House, where President Barack Obama lives and works. Elena Marquez cried as she told about her father working in farm fields in Florida before he was deported. She says she is now alone with her mother and younger sister.
Please stop the deportations now, not only for my dad, but for other kids.
Jason Garcia is 10 years old. He also cried when he said in Spanish that his sister and mother are worried for their father, who was deported. Both Democrats and Republicans accuse each other of making political decisions about immigration. I'm Ann Ball.
That's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz. on The Voice of America.